Hi, this is Winners Chapel International, New York. Thank you for downloading our podcast. We hope this inspires you, builds your faith, and motivates you. Please make sure you subscribe to get new messages every week. Enjoy the message.
Putting up a fight against the forces of ungodliness, part 1b. Putting up a fight against the forces of ungodliness, part 1b. Remember, the month was opened up yesterday as a month of godliness. Godliness is profitable unto all things. And in order to be godly, we must put up a fight against everything that is making us ungodly. Yesterday, we started in part 1a, and we saw the way Jesus Christ taught us in the way to godliness. That is, we must always forgive, ask for forgiveness of our trespasses, ask God not to lead us into temptation, and to always deliver us from evil. We also did emphasize that we must continue to pray not to fall into temptation, and we must be committed to prayer and fasting so as to break the hold of satanic bandages. We also said we must put up a fight of faith. It's not a physical fight. It's a fight of faith against every unwanted habit. And we also did mention that righteousness positions us for all-round prosperity. One key example is Job. Job was righteous and he was so prosperous in his days. In this part 1b tonight, putting up a fight against the forces of ungodliness, two objectives that I want us to go home with tonight. Actually, our focus tonight is on masking the mysteries of iniquity. That's our subtopic tonight, on masking the mystery of iniquity. Remember, our running theme for this month in midweek communion service is putting up a fight against the forces of ungodliness. But before you can fight something, you must know what you want to fight. So our subtopic tonight is unmasking the mystery of iniquity. That is, we want to take away the mask from the mystery of iniquity or the forces of ungodliness. So what are the two objectives that we will accomplish after this teaching tonight? Is number one, we want to describe the nature, characteristics, and attribute of sin. We want to be able to see the nature, the characteristics and attribute of sin, so we can judge if our action, character, habit is sinful or not. When we know the nature of sin, when we know the characteristics of sin and the attribute of sin, each time we do something that is sinful, we'll be able to judge ourselves without anybody judging us. So that's what we want to accomplish tonight. And number two, we will also be empowered to fight against the forces of ungodliness. So let's open up. What are the natures of sin, or the characteristics or attributes of sin? I'm going to run through seven of them tonight as time permits by the grace of God. Number one, sin is deceptive. Sin is deceptive. That is, sin appears or gives impression that is different from the truth. It gives anything deceptive. We appear to be the truth, but it's not the truth, or give impression that that is the truth. So when someone is lying, we say the person is a sinner, is committing sin. Why? Because lying is deceptive. Even if you are telling the truth and you are not telling the whole truth, or you are painting the truth in order to deceive, is also deceptive. So that's what sin is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, the Bible says, "But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." We all know the story how Satan came as a serpent. He said, "Did God really say you should not eat this fruit? Did he say you will die?" "No, you will not surely die." Well, that's deception. He knew what God meant. It wasn't physical death. It was a spiritual death and disconnection from God. But he was trying to tell them that they're not going to die, that they're not going to die physically. So that was deception. So that's how sin does. So anything that is deceptive in nature is sinful. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says, "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression
was in sin because she was deceived. No wonder the word of God in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7 admonished us. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. So anything that is deceptive in nature is sinful. We have to watch out. And number two tonight, sin. Okay, before we go there, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. I would like us to read that scripture. Hebrews 3, 13 to 14, talking about deception of sin. It says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast and the end. So sin is deceptive in nature. Number two. Sin is enticing. Sin is enticing. Anything that you are enticed to or that is always enticing you, watch out. That's an attribute of sin. That is, sin is attractive or tempting. It's going to come in the form of temptation and it's going to be very attractive. So you want to draw to it. You want to draw your attention. So we have to watch out for that. Sin is enticing, that is to attract or be tempted by offering pleasure or advantage. You know the way this credit card company send mails. Oh, we're going to give you $20,000. You don't need to pay for 1 year, and or maybe all this furniture company. You will see 0%. Don't pay for 2 years. It looks like my furniture is bad. I need to go and get this new furniture. That's enticing. It's enticing you. You don't really need that furniture. You were not really thinking about that furniture until you saw that offer. I think this looks like offer. Or you are just watching the TV and you saw brand new Mercedes-Benz, 0%, no money down, no payment till 6 months. I think I need to change my car. So sin is enticing. We are enticed in the same way into sin. James chapter 1 verse 13 to 15. Let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. No wonder the wise man in Proverbs chapter 1 verse 10, he says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. I love that scripture. That was one of my first memory verse in Bible class, BK. How many of you did BK? How many of you did CRK or CRS? It's the same. Bible knowledge or Christian religious studies or Christian religious knowledge. But BK is the elementary one. I think my BK teacher, that was one of the verses he taught us, and since then it registered. And I'm talking about 4 decades ago. Well, I'm not old, please. God is faithful. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. They will always want to entice into sin, but do not consent. Praise the Lord. Now, number three, sin is secretive. Sin is secretive. Anything that is a top secret, secret in nature, is an attribute of sin. We have to watch it. And some of these things also have some positive side, but if it is negative side, because for instance, now there are certain kind of job, they call it top secret. You have to do some, and that's not what I'm talking about, but anything that is negative in nature is sinful, is secretive. That's why some dubious people, when they want to commit atrocity, they tell you, don't tell anybody. This is a top secret. If you tell somebody you're going to die, watch it. Those are evil men, evil people. Anything you cannot share with your wife, anything you cannot share with your parents, anything you cannot share with anyone that somebody is telling you, this group, no, we don't talk to anybody. You don't need to tell anybody. If you tell anybody, children, watch out. Teens, watch out. Youth, watch out. Anyone that is inviting you to a place and say, don't tell your parents. Your parents, if you tell your parents, you're going to die. That's sinful. That's wickedness. That's evil. We have to watch out for that. Psalm 90 verse 8, it says, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. And that's one nature of sin. Nobody sins openly. Imagine somebody said, anything you will not be proud of to be shown on CNN, don't do it. If you are not going to be proud that they put handcuffs on your hand and so this man went to store to steal something, then you don't want to steal. Anything you will not be proud of that somebody else will know or somebody else will hear about it, don't do it. That's the nature of sin. Anything you can only do behind closed door in secret, except kingdom advancement prayer. You know, I said there are positive. Let somebody say, oh, well, so the Bible says that we should, whatever we do, when we do our prayer, close our door. I'm talking about something negative. Anything negative. Like somebody's inviting you, come to my house and, you know, and oh, it's opposite sex. You know what the result is going to be. Run away. Psalm 139, verse 23 to 24. Psalm 139, 23 to 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, the eyes of God can see whatever that is done in the secret. So we always need to pray that prayer. Search me and know my heart. So that's one nature of sin. Secrecy. Sin is secretive. That is a state of activity characterized by concealment of intentions and information. So when you want to conceal something, intention, your intention or your information is a sinful nature. And we saw this in Gehazi or Gehazi, you know, depending on which accent. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 20 to 27, we saw how Prophet Elisha healed Naaman, and he didn't collect any offering from him. And after a while, Gehazi ran after him. And he said, oh, my master just got a visitor now. He will need two remnants of cloth and this and that. And the man gave him more. And he ran back to the house. And the master called him, Gehazi, where have you been? He said, oh, I've been in the room. I didn't go out. Double sin. Instead of him to say, oh, sir, I'm sorry. But every time you cover one sin, you will always use another sin to cover up. So he covered up again. And I said, the prophet said, my eyes went with you. When you went, you ran after him, and he received a curse. I pray in the name of Jesus, no one here will be cursed. We saw that encounter in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 20 to 27. And number four, sin is addictive. Sin is addictive. Anything you are addicted to in the negative, like I said, if you're addicted to praying kingdom advancement prayer, that's great. If you're addicted to soul winning, that's great. If you're addicted to reading the word, that's great. But anything that is negative in nature that you're addicted to, if you're addicted to watching TV 24/7 to the detriment of building up yourself in some other areas, that's sinful. If you are addicted to playing computer games, children, teens, and youth, and that's all you do all through the time, that's addictive in nature. That's sinful. Now, all the ones you did during the holiday is pardoned. Now, school has resumed, or school is resuming. So, if you get addicted to that, of course, daddy and mommy, they are hearing right now. I give them permission to discipline you, because that is sinful. Praise the Lord. Sin is addictive in nature. The same way you see people that are addicted to smoking, they can't do without it. I remember one time, on plane, you are not permitted to smoke. I just saw this man as the plane just landed, just carrying him. What's going on? Is he going to miss his taxi or whatever? By the time I saw him, he was addicted to that. So being on plane for like, I don't know whether it was five and a half hours, it was like being on that bandit that I cannot smoke, you know, that. I don't know whether the electronic cigarette is even permitted. Maybe he would have used that as a substitute, but I think he really wants to do the real one. But he was addicted. So that's sinful. Anything you are addicted to. If you're also addicted to eating, it's sinful. Why? Because when it's time to fast, it will be as if you're under punishment. If you're always eating all the time, these 3 days, it will be a real punishment. You look at time, 12 o'clock, you're already, his body cannot, because you're already addicted to food. Even though the doctor tells you that you should not eat certain food because of your health, because of addiction. Too much of anything is bad. Praise the Lord. So watch it. Sin is addictive in nature. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And what addiction does is to put one under bondage. You can't free yourself. You can't, what you are addicted to will be like a master. Until you do it, you are not satisfied. By decree in the name of Jesus, someone under the sound of my voice is being free from that addiction tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. And number five, sin is contagious. Sin is contagious. This should be well known to us because we just came out of a very contagious season of pandemic COVID-19. The reason why everybody is wearing masks and wearing all of this is not to be infected. So the same way, I wish people will run away from sin the way we run away from coronavirus. I mean, the world will be so free. But people are afraid of coronavirus more than the way they are afraid of sin. Thank God this coronavirus stopped a lot of sins. People that have been going to woman friend, man friend, and committing adultery and fornication, I'm sure that stopped for like 5 months. And I pray in the name of Jesus, that spirit is destroyed completely. In the name of Jesus Christ. No one will be contacted with sin again in Jesus' mighty name. So let's watch out. Sin is contagious. Don't join evil people. When you join evil people, their sinful nature will rub on you. Praise God. That's why David said in Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3, said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditate day and night. So you are blessed when you don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You are blessed when you are not standing in the way of sinners. You are blessed when you are not sitting in the seat of the scornful. If all your friends are smokers, watch it. One day, they will soon encourage you to just take one stick. And if all your friends are those who drink alcohol, very soon, you will soon join them. So please watch it. Sin is contagious in nature. It is infectious. It spread from one person to another. Praise the Lord. And we saw that example of Amnon, the son of David, who loved the half-sister, Tamar, and his friend Jonadab encouraged him to, he planned the way he's going to commit sin with the half-sister. And he did that, and eventually there was a revenge. He was killed by his half-brother. This same friend who taught him the act of wickedness was the one that went to report to David, their father, that it wasn't all the children that was there, because David thought all the children were dead, that it was only Amnon that was dead. So be careful of your friends. Be careful of people you associate with. Be very careful. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Another says, show me your friend, and I will tell you the kind of person you are. If all your friends are unbelievers, if all your friends are those who drink alcohol, if all your friends are those who womanize, then you have to watch it. You might perhaps be doing something in the secret that is not opened yet. Sin is contagious. Number six, sin is also demonic. Nobody in his reasonable mind, in his right mind, we just want to go and sin. That's why when I see families where they are having crisis, maybe husband reports wife or wife reports husband, what I always tell them is, look, this thing is not just ordinary. Don't take it on the surface level. If this man is actually in his right spiritual sense, or if this woman is actually in her right spiritual sense, she won't behave this way. He won't behave this way. So she's behaving that way, or he's behaving this way, because there is a force that is higher or greater than him. So don't take everything on the surface level. You have to fight it. You have to pray for your husband. You have to pray for your wife, because sin is demonic. If your son is stealing, don't just be discipline him and beating him or talking to him all the time or cussing him out. Yes, there is a place of discipline. There's also a place of prayer to break the demonic force, to break demonic activity. If you find yourself deceptive in nature, telling lies or doing things you don't want to do. You don't watch it because sin is demonic in nature. You have to bind that spirit. You have to fight that force. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world." So the spirit of sin is the spirit of the world and is demonic in nature. The same thing in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. 1 John 2, 15 to 17. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So, watch it and fight it, because sin is demonic. There was a prophet in the Bible, Zechariah, in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. It was told that God showed how Satan was trying to put the garment of sin. Let's read that encounter in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. "And he showed me Joshua the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee. I will clothe thee with the change of raiment. And I said, Let them set a fear." Now, look at this. This prophet was reporting the vision he saw of a man of God, Joshua, that was clothed with filthy garments. I mean, you wouldn't expect a man of God to be clothed in filthy garments, but that was Satan that was trying to impose his demonic activity. So when you find yourself, or when you find any believer that you trust doing something wrong, don't just condemn them. Don't just castigate them. Take time to pray for them. When you see somebody that begin to behave irrationally and that you respect the grace of God upon him or her before, what you need to do is to pray. There are spiritual attack. And when you notice that things like that are happening to you, seek for spiritual help. Don't just watch it until Satan puts garment of filthiness upon you. I stand there to decree tonight, everyone under any form of satanic attack, by the blood of Jesus, you are liberated. By the blood of Jesus, you are delivered. For they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And finally, sin is destructive. The end result of sin is death. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." The reward of sin is death. The penalty of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin is deceptive. That is, sin can cause great and irreparable harm or damage. Sin can cause great and irreparable harm or damage. We saw that in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20 to 24. "The soul that sinneth, he shall die." And in Acts chapter 5, verse 1 to 10, we saw the example of Ananias and Sapphira. That story always give me a prick in the heart. That one really needs to be very, very sensitive. Yes, everybody was giving, and they sold their land, and they gave. But they took part of it. Who put them under pressure? They should have just said, "God, we are giving you half." You don't need to impress anyone. They tried, they want to impress, they want to feel among, "Oh, we also sold our land." But they kept part of it. And the Spirit of God revealed it to Peter. Their result is both of them died the same day, husband and wife. Sin is destructive. Run away from sin. And we also saw a man called Achan, who also sinned in the Old Testament in Joshua chapter 7, verse 24 to 25. He did not only die, but all his family members also went for it. The same way for Gehazi, or every of his lineage also inherited that curse. I pray in the name of Jesus, someone here will be delivered tonight from the destruction of sin. Is somebody blessed tonight? Now that you have identified how sin comes, then you have to watch it. You have to be very, very prayerful and be very, very careful. And also, make a very strong determination. Faith is taking responsibility. Any faith that makes God absolutely responsible for the outcome of your need is an irresponsible faith, according to our Father in the faith. Now, there is what you must do. You don't watch it. You notice any of this description that we made tonight in your life. You have to pray. You have to fast. You have to resist it. He said, resist the devil and it will flee from you. Tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ, every nature of sin, every attribute of sin, every character of sin that is manifesting itself in your life shall be completely destroyed. Now we have satisfied the first objective. The second objective is to be empowered to overcome sin. Please rise with me to your feet tonight. Lift up your voice. Now that God has spoken to us, now begin to examine yourself. The Bible says, examine yourself whether you are still in the faith. And begin to pray for God's mercy. Begin to pray. I want everybody to pray. I'm going to ask for altar call, but I want everybody to pray for first. Lord, have mercy upon me. Father, deliver me from the deception of sin. Lord, deliver me from the enticement of sin. In the name of Jesus, Father, deliver me from the secrecy of sin. Deliver me from the addiction of sin. Deliver me from the contagiousness of sin. Deliver me from the demonic activity of sin. Father, deliver me from the destruction of sin. Lord, sanctify me tonight. Purge me. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there's any wicked way in my life. Father, forgive me tonight. Cleanse me by your blood. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. In order to fully overcome sin, you need to surrender to Jesus. You want to do so tonight? Say this quick prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I come to you tonight. I know I have sinned and come short of your glory. Forgive me all of my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. Now I am saved. I am born again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Winners Chapel International New York's podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and share the link with your friends and family. Visit us online at www.winnerschapelny.org and fellowship with us online on our YouTube channel, Winners Chapel International, New York. Have a blessed week. God loves you. See you next time.